Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
That was a depressing intro from Sean Engel. But we're back. Hour number three. We're talking some NFL, talking Dynasty League, football. We're going to talk win totals here in a minute. Let me just knock out our last few picks that we had from this Dynasty League, because one of them, in my estimation, so you took Benny Snell. Benny Snell's going to be a power back in the league. I don't think he'll ever be the number one back necessarily, but he's going to play second fiddle to James Conner for now, and I do like it because I do think he could be an asset for the Steelers. They have Jalen Samuels there, who's sort of a hybrid tight end running back. We saw him take over at one point last year when Conner was down and Le'Veon Bell had decided not to come back. So I think Snell is a piece there. Will he ever be the lead back for more than a couple of games at a time? I would guess no, but I'm willing to be surprised. I like the pick for the Steelers. I think it adds some good depth, much in the same way that I really loved the James Conner pick a couple of years ago. He slid in the draft because he had cancer and he had a major knee injury in college. And there's just a lot there to have faith in drafting a guy earlier than they did in round three. But the Steelers did a nice job there. Hopefully they do an equal job with Benny Snell. My next pick is an interesting one, in my estimation, because it's Travion Williams for the Bengals. Now, Joe Mixon is clearly going to be the starter in Cincinnati for as long as he stays healthy. However, a guy that I've always loved to have on my teams because I think he's a great football player is Gio Bernard. This is Gio Bernard's last year in Cincinnati, most likely. He could sign a team-friendly deal to hang on, but this is Gio Bernard's last year. They haven't extended him. Cincinnati's notoriously cheap, so it wouldn't surprise me. And they drafted two running backs here in the sixth round, Travion Williams and Rodney Anderson. So that spells Gio Bernard is probably gone at the end of this year. Now, I thought Travion Williams was, and Rodney Anderson fell because he had an injury issue, much in the same way that Bryce Love did. But Travion Williams, I think, could be a piece of the Bengals running back future. Maybe not much this year, but by 2020, I think he's in there and backing up Joe Mixon. It could be Rodney Anderson as a backup, but I was willing to take that chance there. So that's why I got Travion Williams, and Gio Bernard's days coming to a close in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and one good thing about Williams is that he plays well as a pass blocker, and that'll keep a running back on the field as well. And like you said, I mean, he could be a good replacement for Giovanni Bernard, who I in the past have liked to roster as well because of his pass catching ability. And Williams has some pretty good hands as well. So I like the pick.
Yeah. My next pick was Kahale Waring. He's going to be the tight end in Houston of the future. Jordan Thomas, their current starting tight end, but Waring's going to have a chance to work with Sean Watson. Ryan Griffin is there too, but Ryan Griffin, they obviously drafted Waring to be a long-term option there. He's not a guy that played a lot of football in his life. He started playing football, I think, when he was a senior in high school. So he's still a player that's developing. So that's why I took a shot on him there. He went to San Diego State. That's right. I couldn't remember San Jose or San Diego State. Josh Oliver, another tight end drafted. He was San Jose State earlier. Your pick right before that was Dylan Mitchell, wide receiver in Minnesota. You're figuring he could be the third wide receiver with Diggs and Thielen.
Yes. So he has experience playing both outside and the slot. It comes from a good pedigree with the Ducks. Set a school record for 1,184 receiving yards. I mean, look, you know, it's always tough to draft a wide receiver when you have, you know, Thielen and Diggs in front of you. But I think that he has a shot to, you know, put up some numbers as well. Just like it's a dynasty draft, so you're looking at the future here.
Yeah. I ended up with two tight ends. If I was really picking there, I probably would have gone, if I was really focused and paying attention, I probably would have gone with Ryan Finley there. The quarterback is now Andy Dalton's backup. I think there's a chance that Cincinnati will be bad enough this year that they're just going to move on from Andy Dalton. Maybe Ryan Finley gets that shot. He's a mid-round draft pick. There's not a lot of investment there from the Bengals standpoint, but I think Ryan Finley was a guy, somebody like Todd McShay would tell you that he had borderline first-round talent. He ended up sliding in the draft because there wasn't a lot of teams that had a huge need at QB. But Finley could be the heir apparent there. Corey Parson is the one that ended up with Finley in that draft. And I ended up going with the quarterback late because I needed one, or I felt like I needed one, and I went with Tyree Jackson from Buffalo. He went to the University of Buffalo. He was drafted by Buffalo. Clearly, he is seen as a backup because they're not going to be benching Josh Allen anytime soon.
Not
and
anytime
if they
soon.
Do, then they got big problems. And again, like I often say, if that happens, everybody's fired because he was a top 10 draft pick. So there you go. And your last pick was Gary Jennings, receiver in Seattle. Clearly a run-heavy team, but with Doug Baldwin potentially retiring and seeing what other options they have, I think you can take a shot there at wide receiver.
Bless you.
In Seattle, they got DK Metcalf. Now they got Gary Jennings, Tyler Lockett, Jerron Brown, Amara Darbo. I think Jennings is going to be fighting. We'll get the roster spot this year, and then we'll try to fight to work his way up the depth chart. But I like taking a long-term shot with Baldwin possibly retiring.
Yeah, and looking at Jennings' stats in college, you know, one year he caught 97 catches. Another year he was more of a deep ball threat. So a bit of versatility as, you know, Baldwin, it looks like he probably will retire. And, yeah, the Seahawks have a lot of options there, especially with DK Metcalf that they just drafted. But who knows? Jennings could carve a little role for himself there.
Yeah, so, all right, so that's it for that dynasty draft. Let's talk a little bit about NFL win totals, and we'll continue to do this every week. We'll talk about different odds, but just like to get some stuff out of the gate here with some long-term props. How do you want to do it, Joe? You want to do win totals? You want to do divisions? You want to do it that way? You want to go who can win the divisions?
Why don't we
do that?
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that, and we could do like both at the same time, divisions and win totals, and yeah, let's go for it, whatever.
Okay, so let's start with AFC first. Okay, we'll go AFC first.
Okay.
AFC East. All right, right now the Pats are minus 400 to win the East, Jets plus 600, Buffalo plus 800, Miami plus 2,500. Would you be willing to sprinkle any money on anybody other than the Pats?
To win this division?
Yes.
No.
Right. Same.
How about you?
Same
right? I mean,
no.
You just can't.
No. I know. I think there's, you know, there's not a lot of value at minus 400, but that's, you know, sometimes you just got to go with the value, even if it's negative money, but you got to put up a lot to win.
Put a gun to my head, I'd say maybe the Jets. You know, if I had to make a pick.
Don't.
You say you don't no, no don't.
Pick.
Okay.
Don't. You don't okay. have to make a pick. So don't. okay. Your first. You. I think your Thank first you. Reaction was correct. So, AFC North division to win. Browns plus 140, Steelers plus 175, Ravens plus 300, the Bengals plus 1400. That's pretty good value out of the Ravens. But if I were honestly, and I clearly I'm a fan, but I think there's value there in the Steelers at plus 175. There is going to be a wide assumption that the Steelers lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell from where they were really good 2 years ago. But I think they added the right defensive player to plug a huge hole. And I think they still have enough firepower with Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, Roethlisberger to be a good offensive team. It hasn't been the issue with the team. Antonio Brown is a massive loss. There's no denying that. But they do have a star wide receiver still down the team. So I think this is the Browns. I think this is a very hard-fought division this year. I really do. But if I'm predicting at the moment, it's the Browns and Steelers duking it out at the end. And I would probably give an edge right now to the Steelers. Plenty of time to change my mind, but I think that's going to be a really close division. There's just a lot being put on the Browns right now. It's a first-year head coach, and I know he coached them well down the break as an down the stretch as an offensive coordinator, but there's still a lot of new pieces there that don't always work out when you add everybody all at once.
Right, and everyone has fallen in love with the Browns, and let's face it, I mean, you know, top to bottom, you do have to love their roster, but we talked about it last week, that pick of Steelers trading up to get Devin Bush, finally getting a replacement for Ryan Shazier. I mean, the three-down linebacker could do it all. Man-to-man zone, get to the quarterback. I think that's going to be huge for the Steelers this year. And, you know,
guy,
I don't think you mentioned them today, but... Yeah, and from the offensive side, sure, Juju and James Conner. And I wanted to ask you what you thought about James Conner tailing off a little bit at the end of the last season. But a guy that I'm interested in is James Washington, right? Yeah. I want to see what he could do, second-year wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see what his ADP looks like as we get closer to the season. But the Steelers like him a lot. The Steelers drafted Deontay Johnson in the third round this year for depth.
Mm-hmm.
They added Dante Moncrief for depth. James Washington, starting wide receiver on the Steelers, a team that threw more than every other team last year. To their detriment, but they did. They threw more than every other team. Roethlisberger had the most pass attempts in the league. James Washington is part of that now. He got criticized by Ben last year, but he's a rookie. Don't draft rookie wide receivers. Don't do it. It's on the whole, it's a negative move. I'm not saying you can't find a productive one, but rookie wideouts struggle for a lot of reasons. Juju didn't.
Right.
James Washington did. It's all right. He's a second-year player. I think he has a pretty big year. I'm a believer in the Steelers, and not because I'm a fan. I was really concerned about them last year at points because they were playing so badly, but they've removed some distractions and we'll see if that has a net positive impact. So that's where we're at. So I think the better.
What'd you think about Connor Rush slowing down at the end of the year though? Were you worried about that?
I'm not that concerned going into this year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they need to share the ball a little bit. You know, not everybody is Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell really, people have to understand, like, he withstood a 400-touch season, and he got through it. But even Le'Veon Bell gets banged up at the end of those seasons, too. We saw that a couple of times. Playoff game a couple of years, AFC Championship game against the Pats a couple of years ago. A few years back when he had to leave with a groin injury. He just wore down. And I think that all contributed to him wanting to move on from the Steelers. He felt like he was being used up and didn't have any guaranteed money. So now he has that with the Jets. And like, I'm as a Steelers fan, I don't have hard feelings about the Le'Veon Bell scenario. I'm not particularly surprised with the way it played out either. I was sitting here a year ago saying I thought he was going to hold out. I didn't think he would hold out the whole season, but I'm not mad at the way it played out. I understand where he was coming from and, frankly, where the team was coming from, too. So AFC North, I think that's where that value is at plus 175, but Cleveland at plus 140 is pretty good value, too. AFC South division to win it. Colts at plus 150, Texans at plus 225, Jaguars at plus 300, Titans at plus 600. Wow. I would give the Titans a better chance to win the division than the Jags, but that's me. But the Colts at plus 150 is where my money would go. I know they're the favorite, but that's where my money would go. I think they're going to be even improved over last year.
I think they're the safest bet. Yeah.
They struggled early last season and then ripped. They were 1-5, and they ripped off like 10 wins in a row. So they were really good at the end of the year. And I think that team is consistently improving. I like Frank Reich as coach. So my money would go on the favorites there.
Yeah.
How about you?
And the struggle early on was in part due to Andrew Luck just finally, you know, getting up to par health-wise and all. But there's some interesting, if you're a real gambler, I mean, I think that really you could argue that any one of these four teams, if everything falls into place, could actually win this division.
I think that's true.
I mean, Jags, remember, with that great defense.
The Texans won it last year.
Still pretty good. Yeah, yeah. And we mentioned, all the weapons that Mariota has at his disposal. And you bring up that great point with the missing the two-point conversion. They could have just, been in the playoffs. So if I had to put my money, the safest bet to me would be the Colts. But look, Texans are going to be right there as well. But it's just a really tough division.
I'm still a believer in the Titans, for the record. I don't know that they'll win the division, but I'm still a believer. Let's go to the last one. We only got 2 minutes. The Chiefs are at minus 200, Chargers at plus 250, Broncos plus 1,200, Raiders at plus 1,400. My money would be on the Chargers immediately here. In fact,
me too, right away.
I mean, that is a really unbelievable value. I would pick them right now to win the division. I would.
Great
I don't
defense,
think they're gonna
run. Right? Not only with the offensive weapons, but yeah.
That's right. That's a pretty easy one where I put the money. So I'm surprised the Chiefs are still at minus 200 here. We might start to see those lines move. I don't think I'm going to put anything down. The most motivated bet I would make in the AFC right now is the Chargers at plus 250 of all the teams that we talked about to win the division. That's where I'd be at.
Who do you think has the best chance? I say it's the Chiefs. I don't know if you to regress this season. I mean, 12 wins last year. I don't think they did enough to address their issues at defense.
They did.
They're going to really miss Tariq Hill. The depth at running back is still decent, Damian Williams and company. But I think the Chiefs could really take a step back, and you wonder what that does to Mahomes' fantasy production this year.
I don't think he's going to throw 50 touchdowns again. That would be no. A, but he can still throw 40, which is fine. And
I'll take
I think
that.
A regression from 12-4 and making the AFC championship game down to 10-6 isn't the end of the world, but I think it's real regression in our terms.
Right.
So come back. We'll talk NFC. Maybe we'll talk baseball. We'll decide during the break. It's Mike and Joe on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back with another one of those block rocking beats. FST Saturday edition. Thanks for listening on TuneIn and iHeartRadio. Joe Gallina along with Mike Blewett. I'm at Mike Blewett on Twitter, and he is at Joe Gallina. So here we are. We have coming down to the wire, 40 minutes to go. Weekend Fantasy Update will join us. That's Cam Stewart and George Kurtz. We're talking NFL. We'll transition back over to baseball here in a minute. But let's do the NFC divisions to win, Joe. Might as well finish this off. We got NFC East.
Sure.
Philadelphia Eagles at minus
125. Giants. Take the Giants.
Oh, no. Cowboys at plus 175. Washington at plus 800. Giants at plus 1,200. Now, if you're asking me now, I do think the Eagles come back and win this division after the Cowboys won it this past year. But Washington at plus 800 is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we talked that we kind of liked the early part of the Redskins draft, you know, with the good offensive line that Haskins is going to be you know, throwing behind. Pretty good defense, right? So
added Terry McLaurin. You know,
they're getting Darius Geis. Yeah, Terry McLaurin is absolutely
Montez Sweat.
Ohio State connection. Yep. So, God, it's a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback because I think he's going to be starting day one. But
I think so too.
Yeah, you know, you could throw a couple of shekels, like sure. Speeds likes to say, and just let it fly. Why not? But I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, it could. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles take this division. But it's going to be hard fought between the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Redskins. The only team that's good. Giants are going to be hard pressed to win another five games, I think, this year.
I don't think Washington is that much of an underdog to win the division. That's the way I'm looking at it. I wouldn't say that favorite. If I'm predicting it, I probably. And we have to look at schedules and all that kind of stuff. Now we'll be doing that as the spring and summer progress. But Washington right now, I think that's too much of an underdog in a division that has had a different division winner for 14 years in a row. It's changed hands. I do think that they are too much of an underdog there. The Giants, no chance there. NFC North division to win. Chicago Bears plus 200. Packers also plus 200. Vikings also plus 200. And the Lions at plus 1,000. So that means that this book in particular, I'm on mybookie.ag, by the way. So there it is. The money's straight across. I don't think the Bears regressed that much. They have an attacking defense. They lost a key piece there, Adrian Amos. But I do like the Packers to bounce back, I got to say. I would probably put the money on the Packers right now, but I don't feel confident about any of these at the moment.
If I would say if I had to put a bet on, I would take the Bears. But again, I mean, the Vikings, I could see them like the Eagles maybe taking, you know, coming back and playing better than they did last year. I mean, that 8-7-1, they were thought to be a contender for the go to the NFC Championship last year, right? They fortified that offensive line a little bit, right? That should help Kirk Cousins a little bit, right? I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy, but you can never count Aaron Rodgers out as well.
They drafted Garrett Bradbury in the first round. They add Drew Samia in the fourth round and Ola Sameka Udo in the sixth round. But the reality is that Bradbury will come in and probably start right away. You got Pat Elflein kicks over to guard. They spent a lot of money on Riley Reiff. Josh Klein and Brian O'Neill, the others. I could see Drew Samia being a part of this rotation by the time the season starts. Will they have a rookie tight end and move on from Kyle Rudolph? Remains to be seen. They obviously have lockdown wide receivers, and then they added Alexander Mattison in the third round to sort of make up for the loss of Latavius Murray. Probably a good trade-off. They don't have to spend a lot of money on Murray. But I think they'll just be better. That offensive line was a big problem for them last year, and they still went 8-7-1. Granted, that tie was a gift, so they probably should have been 8-8. But in any event,
I could picture the Bears regressing to 10 wins and the Vikings, you know, getting 10 wins. I mean, I could see a little bit of a hard-fought battle here. And then, like I said, one. With Aaron Rodgers, you really can't ever – yeah.
That's the hardest really division for me right now.
Right.
But the Packers, we talked to Joe Delosio last week on air, and they really have made – they made an investment in free agency, which they had not done much of. They added a lot of guys, Darius Smith, the Adrian Amos, I believe they added, right? Let me see. I'm just pulling up the other guys. I believe it was Darius Smith, Preston Smith. Let me make sure I have this right. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos. They drafted Darnell Savage in the first round and Rashawn Gary in the first round. I think they still have some holes at linebacker, but I do like the additions that they made. They drafted a interior lineman in the second round. They drafted Jay Sternberger. They always have Devontae Adams there along with a host of young wide receivers and young running backs. So I do think they
Geronimo's back.
If you're asking me right now who's going to win the division, I'll say the Packers. But I think this one's close, and I could see changing my mind on that. NFC South, Saints minus 175, Falcons plus 325, Panthers plus 500, Bucks plus 1200. All day on the Falcons here for me. All day on the Falcons. Big bounce back year for them. I think the Saints are a very formidable opponent, but the value for me here is with the Falcons.
It's interesting that their first couple of picks, they fortified that offensive line. I mean, you know, they have a great offense in Matty Ryan and, you know, obviously Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. And they get another year out of their Austin Hooper, their tight end. Got a good running, deep running game with Ito Smith, I think, taking a step forward there. So, you know, last year they had a lot of injuries on defense. I think that really hurt them big time as well. So I can
that
see
was the
them,
reason that the team fell apart. Know, they lost three defensive starters in September. Yeah. I've mentioned this many times. And they drafted two offensive linemen in the first round.
Yeah,
they knew that that was the weakness of their team. That's going to help them with Freeman and Ito Smith, who could be a really good value in drafts this year. And I think this offense bounces back in a really big way. Dirk Koetter is back as the offensive coordinator, to whom he previously worked here. And he's going to work with Matty Ice and obviously under Dan Quinn to try to get this offense back where it needs to be. Defense needs to be better consistently, but we talked about it, I believe, even last week after the draft. They didn't add much defensively because they're getting Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen and Deion Jones back for a full season. Vic Beasley needs to be better.
I
do think the value here, the value bet, is the Falcons at plus 325 to win the division. Do you have a different answer? You like the Panthers? You think the Saints repeat?
I think the Saints are going to repeat, but I like the value of taking the Falcons. I think they're going to I could see them winning 10, 11 games. I don't like the Panthers this year. I think they're going to have their issues. They really didn't address their situation at wide receiver. Them picking Will Greer, to me, shows that they're a little nervous about Cam Newton. Or I guess you could also think of it as, hey, you know, maybe they're smart because not – enough teams invest enough in a good backup quarterback. But to me, it's with Cam Newton having surgeries the past two or three years, it's concerning. And the Buccaneers are a work in progress. But I like the value that you can get with the Falcons.
Yeah. The Panthers didn't have many draft picks, so they're basically rolling the same team out there that they did last year. Clearly, free agency had an impact, but they didn't make major changes. They just didn't. And I don't think they're good enough to come back. Now, Cam can play like MVP Cam Newton, then they're going to be better. They just will be. That's the nature of it. But they were 7-9 last year, you know, six games off the pace of the Saints. And the Falcons were as injured as you can get, and they matched that at 7-9. You have to think about that. The two teams that I talked a lot about were the Titans at 9-7 and the Falcons at 7-9. I picked them both to make the Super Bowl last year. Clearly, I went up in flames. But both teams had miserable seasons, and the Titans went 9-7 and just missed the playoffs. And the Falcons went 7-9, missing three defensive starters for almost the entire year. So people think they were terrible last year. They really weren't. I think they're a very good team, and I like them to bounce back. So last one here.
Yeah, the core that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago is still there. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Last one is the NFC West. We get the Rams at minus 175, Hawks at plus 350, Niners at plus 450, Cardinals at plus 1600. I'm going to go Hawks here. I wouldn't argue with somebody if they wanted to sprinkle some on the Niners, but I'm going to go Hawks here to win the division and displace the Rams. That's my prediction, period.
Not a bad bet.
And I'll clearly, bet.
I might sprinkle just, you know, just for that, just a little bit, just to have a taste of it. I think the 49ers could surprise some people. We were just talking about them and, you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, Garoppolo back, deep at wide receiver, deep at running back. You know, Nick Bosa could give him a little boost at, in defense. Just a little something, just to have a piece of it. But I think the Seahawks, are, you know, go ahead.
So I'll give you the positive on the Niners and the negative on the Niners. The positive is that,
okay,
look, if you're going to have a bad season, just have one like that. We lost our quarterback. Mm-hmm. We couldn't win any games because our quarterback situation sucked, and we went 4-12. And then, boom, impact player in Nick Bosa. It's a hell of a lot better, frankly, than the teams I was just talking about, where, like, the Titans had a disappointing year, and they went 9-7, and they ended up picking a guy in the first round that isn't going to play this year. I think they're good enough to compete, but they don't necessarily get a super. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons actually could be a really big impact player when he comes back from his ACL, but just have a season like that, because the Niners roster in total, especially defensively, is good. So 4-12 isn't indicative of the talent on their roster, much in the same way that Miami's 7-9 season isn't indicative of how good that team is. They're going to be really bad this year,
right,
the Dolphins
right.
are. The Niners can just come back to sea level with getting their injured players back and go 8-8, right? So that's a four-win improvement.
Yep.
If they play well, I could see them improving six games, 10-6, in the mix with the Seahawks, who went 10-6 last year. So that's the positive. The negative for me is that I just think that we're asking for a lot from the Niners to come together offensively. Garoppolo back from an injury. Kittle is obviously fine. I do like the fact that Kyle Shanahan is working with these backs, and I don't care if it's Coleman or McKinnon or Breda. I think from an NFL standpoint, they'll be good. It could be frustrating for fantasy owners. They have improved the offensive line. But what I don't know is what the receiving corps is going to look like. Is Goodwin really going to dominate? Can he work with these younger players? Garoppolo didn't really have that much time to work with Dante Pettis before he got hurt. And then you bring in Jalen Hurd and Deebo Samuel, Jordan Matthews. Those are all new players. So I think it might be too much to expect it, for it to all come together for the Niners. But the Rams turned it around in 1 year. Maybe the Niners can too.
It's going to be interesting to see, like you mentioned, how much of a regression we're looking at with the Rams. 10, 11 wins might do it to win this division. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but my value there is on the Hawks, so at plus 350. So
yeah,
there you go.
I like it.
Ironically, Washington is my value bet in the East. I'd go with the Packers there. It's not much value. Falcons at plus 325 and the Hawks at plus 350. My favorite bet in the NFC is Atlanta at plus 325 to win the division. And my favorite bet, by I think, overall and in the AFC is the Chargers at plus 250 to win that division. I would predict the Chargers to win that division
right now. Yeah, I'm with you with the
Chargers.
Yep.
All right. So closing the book on football for the day. Let's get back to a little bit of baseball. So We talked about the Yankees' injury issues and how they're coming back. One guy we didn't talk about, but by the way, Miguel Andujar officially activated off the injured list. I would imagine we'll see him in the starting lineup, Joe, whenever they release that. I'll check to see when they release that lineup for 1 o'clock. But one guy we didn't talk about in the
first hour.
He's
batting cleanup.
Oh, look at that.
They just released it. Yeah,
very
yeah.
Nice.
A few minutes ago, it wasn't released, but it's been updated. LeMahieu leading off. Voit batting second. Sanchez batting third. Red hot, right? And Andujar playing third base and cleanup. And Torres short. Gardner batting sixth in center field. Maben and Wright seventh. And Romine catching today because Sanchez is DHing. And Tuchman batting ninth and playing left field.
Yeah, Sanchez hit 2-4.
Andujar's back, baby.
Yeah, yeah. It just shows you like where the where the Yankees are at, that the Yankees fans are getting excited about Andujar's return. But it's a positive. So one guy, we may hopefully people don't think we buried the lead, but I was talking about Kyle Hendrick and Tyler Glasnow, both of whom are on my fantasy team. Well, a third guy on my fantasy team comes through, and that's Chris Sale. He came into Friday start looking for not only the first victory. I had a great night. Came into Friday start not only looking for his first victory of 2019, but a chance to put it all together against his former team, and he did. 6-1. Here's a little tweet. After having two swings and misses on fastballs in his first four starts combined, Chris Sale got 19 swings and misses on fastballs in his last three starts total. So maybe the velocity is coming back, and the Sox get a big start and a big win out of Chris Sale.
Yeah, they obviously need him. Last night, it was averaging 93.1 miles per hour, topping out 96.5. Prior to the start, had been averaging 92.3. So we've seen a little uptick in that velocity, and hopefully as the warmer weather comes and maybe the rumors about him being physically ill, some kind of flu-like the illness running through his body, maybe all that. Well, hopefully for your sake, because you own him on your. But I play in the same league as you, so maybe I shouldn't wish for it. But anyway, nice to see Sale come back last night. ten strikeouts in six innings, man.
1-5 on the season, so he's 0-5. Like you said, 10 strikeouts. He only goes six innings, but 3 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, and 10 Ks. So big outing for Sale. We'll talk a little bit more about him and the Sox versus the Sox yesterday and through this weekend, and we'll close out with our final segment of the show, FST Saturday edition, giving way to George Kurtz, Cam Stewart. A lot of hockey talk on that show. I can feel it coming. But we'll talk baseball to close it out. It's Mike and Joe. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Wow, this is a straight up 80s. Show me, show me, show me.
Sounds it. It's got that 80s. Yeah, it's got that 80s vibe to it. Is this The Cure? Who is this? Mike.
I believe that's right.
That is correct.
I believe that. Yeah. So yeah, good stuff out of Sean Engel there producing. And may the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day. We're closing it out here and talking baseball. So we were talking about I really had a ridiculous night fantasy-wise last night. Sale, Glasnow, and Hendricks yesterday all spinning gems. But to your point about Sale's velocity, we're seeing the final turnaround for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I mean, there were rumors about, first of all, the Red Sox were saying that his lack of velocity was by design, and it's probably a lie. But there was also talk about him being having some kind of flu-like virus running through him. So we'll see. I just think that, you know, this first month of April is always, especially in the Northeast, is so tough when you're dealing with fluctuations in weather. And I think as the warm weather, finally takes over, I think we're going to see good things out of sale for you.
Yeah. So Sox get the win. Red Sox over the White Sox 6-1 last night. Andrew Benintendi 2-for-5. He's up to .278 on the season. JD Martinez 3-for-5 and runs scored. He's hitting .339 right now, Joe. I feel like we don't talk about him right now because the Sox are at 15-18, probably on their way back up. But JD Martinez probably hasn't been talked about as much as we should have. Xander Bogaerts 2-for-5, runs scored. Rafael Devers, though, with a big home run last night. He is 2-for-5 last night, 2 runs scored, and 3 RBIs. He hits a big home run in the first inning.
Yeah, and a lot of people, including myself, were looking for a nice little bounce back out of him. And he's had his ups and downs this season. Hopefully this is the start of something big. Like you said, batting .298, hit a home run last night. And on a personal level, I have owned him on a couple of teams. I need him to continue. So keep going there, Devers.
Yeah, Michael Chapes with a home run last night as well, 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. On the White Sox side of things, didn't really do much. McCann, 2-for-4 last night with a ribby. Yoan Moncada with a hit last night, and Rondon with a hit, but they only scored the 1 run, so not much there. I guess the other game I should talk about to get your thoughts on it to close out the show, maybe we should have opened with it, but the Braves-Marlins game resulted in a big dust-up that goes back to last year involving Acuna and involving Urena, and we had benches cleared. We had Kyle Gausman thrown out in the middle of the second inning, I believe. Is that right? When Urena came up for his first at-bat, he threw behind him a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. He missed him, but the home plate umpire said that warnings had been made prior to the game, and he immediately kicked Gausman out. Gausman didn't seem fazed by it at all, but obviously we had everybody coming out to push and shove and all that kind of stuff. It didn't get terrible, but it was because it was really heated last year.
Yeah, like you said, it dates back to last year. And you know, this whole issue has been talked about a lot in baseball this year, right, in terms of retaliation and the batters throwing pitchers throwing at batters. So it's basically old school mentality. I don't know. How do you feel about, should it be banned? What do you think there?
I don't know how you can regulate it out.
Is it a sign of just being a good teammate?
Yeah, of course. Gausman is doing it is considered to be a good teammate. That's what he's doing it for. Mm-hmm. What Urena did last year, he threw at Acuna on the first pitch of the game, right? And hit him in the elbow. The problem with that kind of stuff, when he did it last August, the problem with that kind of stuff is him doing that could have completely ruined the entire Braves season. A standout player, you break a bone in the guy's elbow and then he's just out for the year. Like, that stuff doesn't even happen in football purposely for the most part. It doesn't. What happened to Alex Smith was an accident.
Right.
Nobody tried to break his leg. This guy tried to hurt Acuna last year to put him out, to knock him out of the game. But you can't sit there and say, well, I wasn't trying to knock him out for the rest of the year. Well, you did. You know, he didn't, but put me in the hypothetical. You do stuff like that on purpose and then put people out for 6 weeks. It changes the entire fortune of a franchise, and people's jobs are on the line.
Right, especially a team playing for the playoffs like the Braves, yeah.
That's right. So you can't just dismiss what your long-term impact will be, hitting people in the head, hitting people in the elbow, putting people out of games. Like, yeah, it's old-school mentality, but there's too much damn money on the line right now for these guys, and I don't know how you regulate it out of baseball. I think this is always going to be some part of it. The unwritten rules and all that kind of stuff are ridiculous, but I just think there's some guys that are always going to play that way, and I can't say I'm okay with it, but I don't know how these guys regulate it out of baseball either. What would you do? Would you just suspend?
What would you do? You'd have to
Urena.
I was going to say
a month
for a year.
I mean,
that's basically it. You know, you got to hit him in the pocketbook, right?
It was six games he got.
That's
last
a big
year.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, so that game last night, 7-2 Braves win. Gausman got kicked out immediately. Toussaint gets the win. He goes four innings. Three walks, six strikeouts. Blevins gets a hold right there. Urena does get the loss. He gave up five runs through six innings. On the offensive side of things, Freddie Freeman, his sixth home run of the year. Brian McCann hits a home run there. Ender Inciarte back in the lineup after being out a couple of days, one for three with a run scored. McCann with the three ribbies on the three-run homer. Acuna, one for five. Freeman, two for five. Freddie Freeman hitting .311. Nick Markakis hitting .321. He went 0-for-2 last night. On the Miami side of things, and Joe, feel free to comment on any of these guys. They don't do anything offensively. Prado, one for three with a couple of runs scored. And Alfaro goes 2-for-3. He's hitting .301 on the year. But Acuna hitting .270 right now. Albies 1-for-5 last night with the run scores, hitting .289. I mean, the Braves obviously are going to be a team that's in the mix here in a highly competitive NL East. They're 16-16 right now. But dust-ups aside, any thoughts really on those Braves players?
Well, it's nice to see Donaldson, you know, in the lineup still, 3-for-5. Yeah. I thought I saw that he had a calf issue, which anytime you hear of any injury issues with Josh Donaldson, if you own him in fantasy, you hold your breath after what happened for the past couple of years with him. But, and Brian McCann, on a personal note, in a two-catcher league, very hard to roster two catchers, but I had Williams Astudillo. He was eligible at catcher and a couple other spots, depending on your league, Minnesota Twins player. And I had to put him on IL, and I ended up picking up Brian McCann. You know, he was on the IL for a little while. But like you mentioned, 46 at-bats. But the playing time has been abbreviated. But playing at home, where he started his career, batting .304, that's good to see. And two catcher leagues might have a little value for you.
Yeah. Switching over, Brewers, Mets, 3-1 win for the Brewers last night. Woodruff goes five innings, six hits, gets the run, seven strikeouts, get one earned runs, gets seven strikeouts. Claudio with a hold, Guerra with a hold, Hader gets the save, his eighth of the year.
Two innings.
Steven Matz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly, two innings save, five strikeouts for Hader. So Steven Matz takes the loss. He threw 5 2/3, three earned runs, but nine hits and a walk. Gave up a couple of home runs last night. On the Milwaukee side of things, Ryan Braun delivers the big blow. He hits a two-run homer, and Lorenzo Cain also with a solo homer last night. I feel like Lorenzo Cain is kind of in the highlights every day for defensive prowess.
Amazing defense, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really. He is really one of my favorite players in the whole league. I know he's not always tremendously valuable for fantasy, but he's a very good player. He does provide fantasy value. He's a very good player, and he's another example of a guy. He's a way better MLB player than he is a fantasy asset, even though he can be a good fantasy asset.
Yeah, I think the one thing that he brings to you is a little stolen base action. But like you said, I mean, he's on the highlight reels almost every night. Pulling home runs out of the air. But when you look at, he had 30 steals last year, 26 the year before. So yeah, 20 plus steals is always a possibility for him, and 292 career batting average. So a nice fantasy player.
Yeah, yeah. Aguiar continues to struggle. I know there was a little bit of a bright spot, but 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts last night, hitting .165. Clearly not the guy that people were trying to draft, and I think you're just dealing with a really tough stretch right now. But he's also not the type of guy you can ditch at this point. You would never cut him, and you're certainly not going to trade him at this point because you won't get any kind of value for it.
perfectly said. And like you mentioned, I think there were two games this week where he hit home runs in back-to-back games, and everyone was excited. You know, hey, he's finally snapping out of it. But I own him in I think it's the league that we play in together, and I've held on to him. What I ended up doing was benching him for most of the time, and I picked up Jose Martinez from the Cardinals, who was getting regular playing time because you had a couple of Cardinal outfielders that were on the IL. So that's the way I was managing it. So in my opinion, you hold on to him a little bit longer and hope that he turns things around. But at the same time, Eric Thames has been getting some more playing time for the Brewers.
Yeah. On the Mets side of things, Jeff McNeil 1-for-4, still hitting .348. So good returns out of him early. Let's close it out with one more. Let's go with high
scoring
affair.
Just one more Met note.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just on a side note, Dominic Smith sent down to the minor leagues. And, you know, look, that's a tough situation for the Mets because Pete Alonso has just been amazing at first base. Yeah. And when called upon, Dominic Smith has produced. But I guess the Mets are feeling that maybe better off that he gets regular at bats and look for him to the Mets try to move him. So he was upset, supposedly, about it. But just a side note.
Yeah. I would imagine that's the long-term plan, is to get him some at-bats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He puts up big numbers in the minors, and they can move him for an asset that they feel that they need elsewhere. So I'll close it out with Diamondbacks Rockies, since there's a lot of fantasy goodness in this one, a 10-9 game. Colorado fought valiantly in the back in the bottom of the ninth, but lost 10-9. They scored three in the bottom of the ninth. So we'll go down the list. Adam Jones, 3-for-5, 3 runs scored in an RBI.
Nice.
Kettle Marte, 3-for-5, 3 runs scored, 4 RBIs. I believe you said earlier in the show he hit 2 homers. Yeah.
Yep.
He had
165 pounds. What does he have, 9 on the season now?
Yep.
Yeah.
That is,
so, and we were talking about the juice ball, baby. It's the juice ball. So just real quick before we head out, right? Up until last year, 2018, April 30th, 2018, home run to fly ball rate 11.9. As of April 30th, 2019, it was 14.4. That's a 21% increase. And then when you look at AAA ball.
Do you think that's more players with the launch doing launch angle, or do you think that increasing their launch angle, or do you think there's something with the ball now?
I think it's a combination, but I think the next thing I'm going to say puts it more on the ball. But you're right. Players are working out more. They're adjusting their swing to get that launch angle so that they'll hit more home runs. But when you look at AAA International League, this was the first year they used the same ball that's used in the major leagues. It's been manufactured in Costa Rica. And through April 30th of 2018, International League batters hit 182 home runs. Same time this year, that 182 became 396.
Wow.
So, yes, the launch angle is, and the batting approach is different, but that's a pretty good sample size right there.
So, yeah, that's a lot of, that's a massive increase. So Escobar last night, 3-for-5, 2 RBIs, and he hit a home run last night. Let's see.
He's on fire.
Yes, he is hitting .305 right now, OPS of .927.
Mm-hmm.
Walker, 1-for-4 with an RBI. Let's go to the Colorado side of things. Charlie Blackmon, early season slump, pulling out of it now, Joe. 2-for-5 with a run scored, 2 or more RBIs. Mm-hmm. His average is up to .287. So he hits a home run last night. Big for him because he struggled those first couple of weeks, but Charlie Blackmon snapping out of it now.
Yes. Charlie Blackmon is Charlie Blackmon, and also when you look at, I think we addressed this a couple weeks ago, the early part of the season, the Rockies were playing a lot of road games, and you know, we talk a lot about the splits, and Blackmon, if you look at his splits, he is a much better hitter when playing at home, and that has helped him to heat up a little bit. But look, the guy's got talent, so you know, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, Nolan Arenado, speaking of talent, 3-for-5. With a run scored, let's see, Hampson 2-for-2 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. McMahon hits a home run last night. And let me see where that is. Yeah, McMahon 2-for-2 with a home run and 2 RBIs. So on the pitching side of things, you know, Tyler Anderson gets beat up, six earned runs in four innings. And then the win goes to Robbie Ray in the 10-9 matchup. Mm-hmm. He gave up only one earned run through five and two-thirds. He gave up five runs, but only one was earned, seven strikeouts for Robbie Ray.
Yeah, continues to be a good strikeout pitcher. ERA now is at 3.79. Just a guy that continue to give you high K numbers and a little, you're going to expect some ups and downs out of him.
Yeah, Greg Holland with the save, his eighth of the year. You're going to have Weekend Fantasy Update next. So happy Star Wars to you. Star Wars Day to you, Joe Galena, and to you, Sean Engel, and to everybody listening.
You too. May the fourth
enjoy
be
the
with
Kentucky
you.
Derby. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, buddy. May the fourth be with everyone. So Cam Stewart will get you interested in the ponies in that next show. I'll be watching. I'm just going to enjoy it. I don't have any good advice. Peace out. We'll talk to you next week.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,